This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. There's a $46 billion industry in America that preys on military families and low-income borrowers. Companies that offer short-term loans, so-called payday lenders, lure families into a debt trap that can keep them in a cycle of recurring debt for a lifetime. But now the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is trying to govern a wide range of short-term loans in hopes of protecting folks from payday lenders. Diane Standard is Director of State Policy at the Center for Responsible Lending. She's been keeping an eye on all of this legislation and activity in Washington. She joins us now to talk about the future of regulations. Diane, welcome. Good to have you here.
Great. Thanks, Frank. It's good to be here.
So we use terms like payday lending and predatory lending. Is there a sharp, bright line that distinguishes that from other lenders and lending practices?
Well, when we talk about predatory lending across any type of loan product, we're generally talking about predatory loans that are more expensive than they need to be, that are designed to be unaffordable, and that are hard for borrowers to actually pay off the loan and escape that debt. We see the high levels of refinancing, excessive fees, unaffordability as clear markers of predatory lending, whether or not it be in the mortgage market, credit card market, auto loans, and also consumer loans. And in consumer loans, these predatory lending types can take a few different forms, such as a high-cost installment loan, as well as a payday loan, which is what we're talking about here today. So to be a little bit more specific about what do we mean by a payday loan, a payday loan is marketed as a quick financial fix, but in reality creates a long-term debt trap. So they're typically marketed as a loan that can easily be paid back in 2 weeks or 1 month on the borrower's next payday. But the problem is this payday loan, the typical interest rate is 391% APR. 300% annual interest rate is the cost of an average payday loan. And that is the product of the high fees, the quick due date, and the fact that they are not affordable to begin with. In addition, payday lenders gain direct access to the borrower's bank account through a post-dated check or electronic debit authorization. This means when that 300% interest rate loan becomes due in full on the borrower's next payday, that payday lender stands first in line above any of the borrower's other expenses, their rent, their utilities, their grocery bills. The payday lender gets paid first, and it takes such a significant amount of that borrower's paycheck that it leaves them short for the remaining part of the month, causing a pattern of repeat reborrowing.
So they go back and make another loan. Well, let's take a look at this from both sides of that desk in that office where the loan is made. From the borrower's point of view, 300% interest, access to my bank account, you're first in line, yet you take away my rent money. Sounds like a bad deal. Why do I make this? And typically, what are the amounts that we're talking about? And why do I take out a loan like that?
So again, so payday loans are marketed as a quick, easy fix. And that's the way they're sold, and that's the way they sound. Unfortunately, that's not how they work in practice. And so when the loan becomes due on payday, yes, someone can pay it back at that time because they've just received their paycheck. Then the problem becomes meeting all their other expenses throughout the month. Payday lenders know this. And in fact, it's this cycle of repeat reborrowing that drives the business model.
So now from the other side of the desk is I, as the person who made this loan, sounds like a bad business model to lend money to people who you expect will not pay you back. How do you make money doing that?
Right. For responsible lenders, making a loan that somebody can't afford to pay back is both bad for the borrower and bad for the lender. Unfortunately, payday lenders' business model is dependent on people who cannot afford to pay back their loan and meet their other obligations. They are counting on borrowers to come back payday after payday after payday. So when I talk about payday lenders depend on long-term debt as the core of their business model and as the typical borrower experience, I just want to highlight two quick points that reflect that. The first is that although payday loans are marketed as a quick two-week loan, the typical borrower is indebted for over 200 days in a year to payday loan debt. In addition, payday lenders make over 75% of their fees from borrowers who are stuck in more than 10 loans in a year. Two-thirds of their fees are generated by borrowers stuck and the long-term debt trap.
So hang on. They're promising a two-week loan period, but the fact is two-thirds of their income comes from people who are stuck in a much longer period. And they got to know that because that's how they make their money.
That's exactly correct.
Yes. And well, so let's talk about this now. And the loan's typically in the hundreds of dollars, $200, $500. What kind of a loan?
The average payday loan size is about $350.
Okay.
But one trend that we're seeing is these payday loans can reach as large as $1,000 to $1,500, depending on state law. The average is a small loan of about $300.
This keeps people trapped for a long, long time. It can be very hard to get out of it. Luckily, here in North Carolina, we've got some pretty strict laws, right?
That's correct. North Carolina was actually one of the first states that used to allow these 300% interest rate payday loans, but in 2001 changed its laws to restore our common sense usury limits to protect against these high rates, which is the most effective way of preventing these predatory lending practices. Over the last 15 years, through longstanding bipartisan support here in the legislature and across the state, we have held on to those consumer protections, and we need to continue to do so.
Is there any thought that might change here in North Carolina?
Well, Frank, I'm glad you asked that question. We are hearing right now within the state legislature that high-cost lenders are coming into the state to significantly increase the cost of loans here in North Carolina. Right now we have they're hoping to they're asking our legislators permissions to charge rates as high as 80 or 90 or 100% APR, which is two or three times larger than what our existing law allows. This is a significant concern because these high rates on these types of loans undercut any incentive for the lenders to actually ensure that those loans are affordable to begin with. And with the lenders that are shopping these proposals, we already know here in North Carolina that they have extremely high rates of refinancing. Over 60% of these loans are refinances of existing loans.
Yeah.
And yet they want to double and triple the interest rates that are allowed here in North Carolina.
To see us relax those regulations. We'll see. Military families are also in the crosshairs when it comes to targets, right?
The Department of Defense has had a longstanding concern about the impact of predatory loans on active duty soldiers and military families. They, in 2006, determined that predatory loans like predatory payday loans or high-cost installment loans were the impact was so significant that they undermine military readiness. And as a result, the Department of Defense moved to put protections in place similar to what we've had here in North Carolina. An interest rate cap. The Department of Defense now, and through bipartisan action by Congress in 2006, enacted a 36% rate cap for loans to military. And right now, the Department of Defense is moving to enhance those protections to cover a broader set of consumer credit, such as the type of high-cost loans which certain lenders are asking our legislators to jack up the prices.
I mean, it's interesting. DOD is saying essentially these predatory loans are a national security threat, and they're taking action. They would hate to see anything relaxed in this state, certainly. Now, let's take a look at the the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, and talk about what can be done at what levels. Who has authority over this? Talk about DOD, the state legislature, and now the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. What are they trying to do?
That's correct. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was a federal agency, essentially a consumer watchdog to prevent the tricks and traps of the financial services industry from stripping millions of dollars away from consumers and different types of unfair practices within the banking industry among payday lenders or credit card companies and the like. And this federal agency was created as part of the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act that was enacted in 2010. And today, one of the powers that the CFPB has is explicit authority to regulate unfair, abusive practices in payday loans. And that's where we are today, is the CFPB is right now considering new rules to address these abusive payday loan practices across the country. What's important is that the CFPB cannot enact an interest rate cap like what we have here in North Carolina, which makes it extremely important for us to hold on to these state-level protections that we have around the pricing of these loans. What the CFPB can do is ensure that payday lenders and other small-dollar lenders essentially make loans that people can afford to repay when meeting their other expenses. So at the core of what the CFPB can do with these new rules is ensure strong rules to ensure a borrower has the ability to repay the loan, sort of to stop this business model of loans that cannot be repaid without having to repeatedly refinance.
Is this a jurisdiction question? In other words, can Congress enact that law, or is this strictly the province of the state government to enact?
Congress also has the ability to enact an interest rate limit. And in fact, we appreciate Congressman Price and Congressman Butterfield signing on to congressional legislation that would do just that. So yes, Congress as well as the states can act on a 36% rate cap. The CFPB is prohibited by Congress from enacting a rate limit on any type of consumer product. So the CFPB's strongest hook is to write strong rules that ensure loans are made that are affordable and that do not lead to this long-term debt trap that we see continually happening within the payday lending industry.
All right, Diane, thank you so much for bringing us up to date.
Thank you so much.
Diane Standard, Director of State Policy for the Center for Responsible Lending here in Durham. Just ahead, we'll examine the cross-section of economic mobility and minority health, and we will do that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.